Ayboan, welcome to the Mahadeya. So through the Mahadeya, we thought of having another FAQ session today. Since many of you raise questions through our Dhamma discussions, and sometimes when you meet me, and you also write to this program asking so many questions, so we thought it is just justice that we at least take a few of the issues that you have brought up, or a few of the questions that you brought up, and discuss it in detail. So for this discussion, we have cordially invited the Venerable Digalle Mahendra Thero, reader in Religions, Philosophies and Ethics of Bath Spa University of UK. And then we have Professor Ravi Koggalage, former Deputy Vice Chancellor Academic of Sir John Kothalawala Defence University. He is a meditator, a meditation teacher with overseas experience. So while welcoming both our resource personnel, I would like to straight away get into this FAQ session. So FAQs, I have a whole list of questions here asked by you viewers. And first of all, I would like to raise the first question from Bante. The first question is, can we reach Nibbana without meditating? Now, this question, Bante, I think it is, there are some preachers today, maybe lay preachers or maybe monks, who say that it is not necessary, or it is not compulsory to meditate to attain Nibbana. So there is this question going on, this debate going on. Is it compulsory to attain Nibbana?
It's a very, very interesting question. I think there are two aspects of it. If you think about some of the Buddha's disciples, like, for example, Angulimala and few others, and there what you see is that these monks who had very difficult past, like Angulimala, suddenly had the awakening, and you know, kind of few things what Buddha says kind of caught their attention. And then there's another occasion that Buddha gave a piece of white cloth. That's right. You know, he was just, kind of rubbing it, and then he saw that this white cloth, you know, because of the heavy sun and sweat, and he got dirty. And once he saw that, you know, he got enlightened. Of course, that, you know, that one, Cholapantaka's one, has meditative aspect. You know, the colors, white. And it's like a khasina, you know, kind of you focus on it and then you realize the impermanence. So there is that part of thing. And so, and in the Buddha's case himself, we know that he sat under the Bodhi tree, and when he was meditating, and the count says he went to the various stages, first jhana, second jhana, and so on, he progressed. And so, also if you think about Buddhist iconography, if you think about it, and if you think about how the Buddha has been depicted around the world, and actually the number of statues that we have, the majority of them are in the samadhi position, you know, in the lotus position, either with bhumisparsha or teaching position or something, but it's very much associated with meditation. You know, when we say meditation, usually what we mean is kind of sitting in a lotus position. Of course, there are other ways of meditating, but the idea of meditation seems to be crucial. And then, if you think about Dhammapada and so on, the first verse is Namanopabhangama Dhamma and so on, there's an emphasis on mind. So here, what you see is that in these three examples, that we have Angulimala's story, Chulapantaka's story, the Buddha's attainment under the Bodhi tree, and then other things like iconographically Buddha's representation as the meditator, seems to suggest, on the one hand, for some, they were not doing any meditation. Like Angulimala is a good example, he was not doing meditation. But then other three cases, like Cholapantaka and the Buddha himself and the statues, you see that meditation is becoming prominent. So So what we could say is that if it is the case for us, definitely we have to do the meditate to attain it, because that seems to be the technique.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the meditation seems the technique of opening your insight. And for the historical cases, but they have prepared over the years, and they may not have, of course, may not have done the technique in the same way, but
mm-hmm.
then Chula Panthakas, you see that the meditation method is working. So I think when you ask whether the meditation is essential,
yeah.
it has these two aspects, historical mm-hmm. situation and modern situation. But I think if you think about modern situation, I think meditation is essential.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Professor?
Yes, two things. One is when you say meditation, first, I may have to ask, what do you mean by meditation?
Mm-hmm.
Because people differently interpret this.
Okay.
Because meditation is commonly used for samatha meditation.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
So develop your samadhi.
Mm.
But even the vipassana also, it's a meditation.
Yeah.
So samatha, vipassana, both are meditation techniques. Mm-hmm. That's how I take
okay.
it. So you need both samatha and vipassana.
Mm-hmm.
But different people, as Bhante said, the progress will be maybe very fast or it takes a long time.
Mm-hmm.
However, there are many places Buddha has advised in many suttas. There are suttas he has mentioned samatha vipassana, both terms.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Mahasalayatana Sutta,
mm-hmm.
It mentions samatha and vipassana, and there are many other suttas. And also the I think in Sabbasava Sutta, mm-hmm. there are seven factors, the how you remove or eradicate your defilements, seven ways. So the seventh one is the meditation.
Mm-hmm.
So there are six other things before you have to do. But again, you have to see what he meant by meditation. There, Buddha referring meditation as this Bojjhanga Bhavana,
mm-hmm.
the Sapta Bojjhanga. So that is not normal people.
Mm-hmm.
When we refer meditation, it is not the Bojjhanga Bhavana, mm-hmm. but initial stages, how
okay.
you develop your samadhi
yeah.
and so on.
I think your explanation is very good, because this English terminology, meditation, we use it in a wide range of ways to refer to various things. I think you clearly says that, you know, kind of this reflection on the Bodhi anga, the factors of enlightenment, is
mm-hmm.
the one you could call, in a very strong sense, meditation.
Mm-hmm.
But
Bahamana.
I think also, when that person who asked this question, when that person, he or she asked that question, probably that person has a more general meaning.
Referring to this samatha,
yeah,
just sit and close your eyes.
Yeah.
General doing anapanasati or something
right.
like that.
Yes.
And I think that's kind
obvious.
Of seems kind of more kind of lotus position.
Yes.
Quiet in your mind, you know, that kind of thing, that's kind of the question.
Yeah.
I think probably in that case, yes to that question.
Yes, that is also referred by Buddha. I think there are many suttas again. The Samadhi Bhavana Sutta.
Yeah.
So they are clearly says samadhim bhikkhave bhaveta.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to do it again and again.
Mm-hmm.
The
and also
samadhi.
Isn't that the case in Buddhism, like the samatha form of meditation is kind of discouraged as
yeah.
opposed to the vipassana?
Mm-hmm.
Is it right to kind of maintain like that? Is there something, can we discuss about that?
Yes, I was about to ask that as well.
Yeah.
yeah.
Yes, there are many different traditions. One thing called Suska Vidarshana. They just follow Vidarshana without
samatha.
And there are traditions, they practice samatha first up to, mostly up to fourth jhana,
mm-hmm.
and then go to vipassana.
Okay.
they are known as Samatha Purvangama Vipassana. Then another tradition, they practice both. It is known as Yugananda.
Simultaneously?
Or
one
in the,
after the other?
Yes. You can't practice Vipassana when you are in Samadhi. So you have to come out from Samadhi and then practice Vipassana.
No, okay, one day you practice Samatha, the next day Vipassana, again Samatha, like that?
That's right. It may be the same day, like 2 hours or you practice Samatha. Then when your eyes open, you can practice Vipassana.
Mm-hmm. Can it you is give not example sitting for a beginner? Suppose there's somebody listening to here, kind of briefly say, this is how you do Samatha and this is how you do Vipassana?
Yes, Samatha, if I explain Samatha in our lay terms, to keep your mind at one point without allowing it to wander here and there. You may use, there are many different methods. For example, Anapanasati is one method. Mm-hmm. You can use your breathing, close your eyes and
focus on breath
either close to your mouth or nostrils or your abdomen. Yeah. Both practices are there. The very common method is you keep your attention somewhere here. Mm-hmm. So, one point. So, you can try to keep your attention there. And initially it's very difficult because after a few seconds you might notice your mind wandering here and there. So that's a kind of indication you don't have control of your mind. Mm-hmm. So in my terms, I used to say even our university students, this practice in Samatha is gain back your control of your own mind. So the... Because normally,
is that an indication also saying that it's difficult for you to practice Vipassana? I mean, what I mean is it always a good practice to practice? I mean, exercise to practice Samatha before Vipassana, so that the mind is more trained and ready for Vipassana.
Well, there's no hard and fast rule,
of course. It depends on the person, isn't it?
It depends on the person. Okay. If you can practice Vipassana, you can directly try that.
Sure.
Right? But as Bhante mentioned, what is Vipassana? For example, now there are different methods. For example, you can contemplate or think about, observe your senses, how your eye and ear. Right, when you hear a sound, how your mind reacting, right? So that is kind of Vipassana. Mm-hmm. So there are Pali terms I try not to use, like you separate nama and rupa, for example. So it is a kind of, you need kind of wisdom to do that as well.
Maybe
your mindfulness.
Not just focus on like three characteristics. It's part of that.
That is also this anicca nature, the impermanent nature.
Yeah.
So that is, you need your attention as well as your mindfulness as well as part of wisdom.
Yeah.
Both. This is known as sati sampajanna. Both should be there. Not just mindfulness, but also observe what kind of characteristics there arising and passing away, or the impermanent nature.
Yeah. So suppose that if a you know beginning student wanted to appropriate Buddhism, that person can do like breath in breath and out breath meditation will do, no, or loving kind of meditation or something like that.
Yes,
good starting point.
Yes, you can start with loving kindness, and that is metta meditation. And in my instructions, the samadhi. So first, I ask them to, you know, observe your mind and think why it is wandering here and there without your knowledge or without your control. So, for example, first try for about 1 minute to keep your mind at one point, your breath.
It's not easy.
And see. Not easy, but observe what kind of thoughts coming in. Yeah. Then you can categorize those things. Basically, two categories. due to your attachment and aversion. Those are the two main reasons why different thoughts come in without your control. So it's a kind of indication we have to reduce our unnecessary attachments and also the aversion, the anger. Therefore, you need another two types of meditation. To reduce aversion or anger, you can practice metta, the loving kindness meditation. But this side also important, your attachments. For that, you have to use a kind of asubha bhavana.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
That, is that the reason that a lot of time now, most popular preachers, they preach asubha bhavana?
Yes. So, I found that that is very important in a samatha meditation. The asubha bhavana, for example, you can contemplate on your body, 32 parts of the body.
But also because there is a criticism that some people say that actually, you know, some of the monks, I don't know how whether we can entertain it, but say that some of these monks or lay people preaching about too much about this negative side of the body,
yes,
produces a weaker generation of young people. You know, the people, you know, because the young people should be dynamic and work hard, and you know, they have a long way to go.
Yeah.
But so the argument, is criticism, is that some of these preachers, they kind of deliberately preach this negative side. So, kind of, there's a strong criticism. What do you think about
that? That's right. Especially Western countries, we get this. I can remember one example when I teaching in Australia.
Yeah.
One session. So normally I used to teach both meditation. So loving kindness, it was okay. But there was one girl, teenage girl, looks beautiful and so on. When I teach these 32 parts of the body, right, others are practicing, she just took her handbag and went away. Yeah,
and
that kind of, but
that also may have to do with the age, no?
Because age and maybe their culture and so on. Because for us, especially Sri Lankans, we have heard about all these things. They
and
have
also in Western cultures,
yes,
you don't see this impermanence because you hide it, you know,
hide
the perfume.
Even dead body you can't see.
No, you cannot see it.
Yes.
And you don't, you know, you can see birth maybe in a limited way, but after that, you know, when you die, you cannot see it. So, and because young people do not go to
even
funeral.
Hospitals, normally they don't visit.
No.
Like Sri Lanka.
No. You know. Yeah, it's different.
Yes.
So there's no opportunity to see the impermanence. Mm-hmm. But also the culture is more limited perspective. You know, you are born and you die. In between you have 60 years.
Yes.
The idea is that you have to achieve everything within those 60 years.
That's
that
right.
Means there is a strong sense of ego. Me. Mm. You know, that sense. You know, that's why I think the people probably host that kind of...
Yeah. So, to answer your question, so people, they have kind of unnecessary fear. If we see this, you know, feel the nature of our body, we may give up everything and so on.
Actually, that's one of the criticism I heard in Sri Lanka.
Yes.
The preaching that a lot of monks give, they focus too much about the next life rather than this life. So the argument is that young generations should be empowered to work hard rather than discouraged. So idea is that in Singapore called belahina.
Yes.
You know, belahina jatya. You know, the kind of weaker nation is produced with this term. That was the criticism.
So this is due to misunderstanding, Bhante.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, practicing this meditation actually improve your mind.
Yeah, you know, that's what I was also about to ask. Won't it generate a mind that is strong, that would be able to bear up anything?
That's right.
I mean,
so we have seen very often, you can see now, if we train our children like that, whenever they face a situation like that, they can't, you know,
cope
with that.
That's why there's stress in the
stressing, mental depression, and all those things.
Collapse of the family and
so on. That's right. Yeah. So if you are aware of the true nature, this is what.
Yes.
So then they can cope with that, and you know,
they can accept it.
That's right. So that's why we are making their mind stronger, rather than the other party use the term belahina.
Yeah.
But this so is actually opposite.
Yeah. So of that. So the positive side is.
That's right.
That is more educational.
That's right.
Educational, and it kind of actually gives you necessary skills to understand life.
Confidence.
Yes.
Confidence.
So I'm teaching this to our engineering students at University of Moratuwa. They take this very positively because they have experience you should know the purpose of this as well. Now, as I explained earlier, why we can't control our mind. Because unnecessary attachments, one major reason.
So if isn't it the nature of the mind?
It is not the nature, that's our wrong habits. You know, this attachment and the aversion, that is not the nature. We have changed.
So that means we have given food to the mind.
That's right. These are called these upakkiles.
Yeah.
So our original mind is very pure, but these are wrong habits, so
cultivated
over our samsaric journey.
Yeah.
So it become normal now because of the strong habits, but it is not the true nature of mind.
But the mind itself is kind of wander around, isn't it?
That is due to our, you know, habits. So we can stop those habits. That's the important thing. So, when you develop your samadhi, only you notice those are the wrong habits we cultivated. But there's a possibility of reducing those.
Yeah.
Yes.
Managing them.
Managing them.
Yeah.
So, just by practicing these 32 parts of the body, you won't give up everything. I mean, that is unnecessary fear.
Yeah.
But rather than, it will make you more stronger. Remember the last program, I think we mentioned that this developing your samadhi, develop your self-confidence. It will help you to, you know, keep your sila more higher level than those who are not having
also,
samadhi.
And also, I think another part is that here, that they get a realistic understanding of who you are.
That's right.
Rather than the false notion of who you are.
Yes. So we are observing our own mind. So you get a real understanding of who am I? What kind of mind I have? Do I have control of it? Or others controlling me? So in fact, as I mentioned, my own interpretation, samadhi is gain back your control.
Of your mind.
Yes. Because normally...
You are not yet enlightened though.
No. This samadhi is only... You have not entered to the path yet. Because wisdom, you need the wisdom. No? So this samadhi is just, you know, calming down your mind. Gain kind of control.
So you can you argue that most of the meditators in the West still on the... Only that basic level of samadhi rather than...
That's right.
Jump into the other... Serious.
Yes, but that in general way, but there can be extreme cases because we don't know their past habits, no?
Yes.
Their previous lives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there can be extremes. But in generally, you can't expect
it's more like
higher
the,
development.
Because the way the meditation is done in the West, it's kind of enabling people to deal with the things like stress and so on. Yeah.
Yes.
So they are
mostly
basically, the target is having a more calm, one-pointed mind.
Yes.
Rather than say that there's a deeper wisdom beyond that.
Yes. They are focusing on the worldly level.
Yeah.
But Buddhism going far beyond that.
Yeah. That's why Buddha himself says that you should not dwell on these samadhis, but should move.
That's
right. You know, that's the criticism of samatha, yeah?
Yes. You should not stop at samatha.
Yeah.
So, as Buddhists, we know it is not the end. even you have not entered to the path yet.
And I think perhaps the danger is that you gain certain bliss by practicing samatha, and maybe you stick to it, you enjoy it, and you stay at that level, enjoying it without proceeding.
With my experience, I see it differently.
Okay.
Now, some people criticize that, you know, if you practice samatha, you will stop there because of the enjoyments and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But I see it differently. Samatha kind of encouragement, motivation,
strong base,
because you get the feeling, okay, I also can do this.
Mm-hmm.
So if you try, especially this Suska Vidashana, you may practice some time, later on you most probably you will give up that.
Mm.
But if you go together with samatha, there's a kind of energy you are getting, because you are experiencing the benefits.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that encourage you to go for it.
Encourage, yes.
That makes you believe.
That's right.
In perhaps the achievable goals.
In my case, I'm talking with my own experience, I started with samatha.
Mm-hmm.
So still I am enjoying with that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why about 20 years ago, I think. If I started with vipassana, I don't think I can go such a long way.
Mm-hmm.
Because
you can see the benefits now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Samatha, you can really experience benefits. Like worldly level, it's very useful.
Yeah, there's a kind of special interesting group in England called Samatha Group.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very popular.
Mm-hmm.
Because samatha, for example, if you can keep your mind at one point for half an hour, it's much better than having 6-8 hours sleep. So you can experience that, and you can experience how your other defilements, you know, going down, like anger, the attachments and so on, when you practice samatha. But there's a danger as well, if you do not continue it, other defilements can come very fast. That danger also there. So you need kind of,
I guess, you just want to keep on meditating and you don't like to come out of that state.
Well, those are, I think, very higher levels.
Oh, really?
But initial levels, like we are talking about, like half an hour meditation or so, unless your mind is, you know, very calm and so on, for a beginner, of course, very difficult to stay more than that.
Of course. Yeah, and I'm talking about someone who has developed samadhi.
Yes.
But as you said, you know, suppose if you see the benefits, then I think it pushes you a little bit to lengthen it, yeah?
Yes.
That's what I think you're thinking.
Yeah, so then you put more and more effort.
Mm.
So I take it as positively. Because otherwise we won't put that effort if you start with direct vipassana. Because vipassana, it takes long time to see the results, experience something. But samatha, very fast, quick results, and it's useful for your day-to-day activities.
That's why it's becoming popular among the beginners.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So coming back to our earlier discussion, there are... the samatha vipassana, even suttas, there are four categories mentioned.
Mm.
One is samatha pubbangama vipassana. You do samatha first, then vipassana, then enter to the path. Path in the sense the lokottara, the supramundane path. Then the other one is you start with vipassana, then do samatha, then there's a possibility of entering to the path. Vipassana pubbangama samatha.
Mm-hmm.
Then the you can do both as Yugananda. The you ask that how you do that. For example, same day you can do like 2-3 hours, for example, you can allocate for samatha.
Mm-hmm.
Then other times your daily routine, you can do vipassana. For example, the mindfulness, satipatthana, right? The whole day you can try to keep your attention, your bodily actions and so on, different techniques are there. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that is again vipassana. Mm-hmm. But while you are sitting with close your eyes and so on, you can practice samatha. Mm-hmm. So both you can practice. Like Bhante mentioned, you can see the impermanent nature of the nama rupa, the hetupala, cause and effect, and so on. These types of vipassana,
and also the kind of, also you pay attention to the feelings in your body.
Yes, you know, that's right. Of, you know, that is satipatthana, the vedana anupassana.
That's right.
Yes.
Pay attention to that. Yeah. You know, there's a little bit of pain and so on. That's kind that's of right. way of developing new insight, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah. So that is vipassana, kind of vipassana. But again, I'll come back to that. There are four categories now. Yeah. So I have mentioned three categories. Mm-hmm. First samatha, then vipassana. The second one, first vipassana, then samatha. Third one is both at the same time, Yugananda. Mm-hmm. Then there's a fourth category as well. So I think there are many different interpretations for this, but for me, I think like while you are discussing Dhamma or hearing Dhamma, mm-hmm. there's a possibility of achieving Magapala. Mm-hmm. Yes, so that is the fourth category.
Dhamma Vichaya.
Dhamma Vichaya, yeah, it is one of the Bodhyangas, yeah. But achieving Magapala also, there's a possibility.
Yeah.
While you are delivering Dhamma discourse,
yes.
or listening to Dhamma.
Yeah.
That possibility also there. We can't reject that. But
maybe for someone who has practiced throughout the samsara, maybe
that's right.
Possible.
Yeah, samsaric habits. Mm.
So I think for such a person, it is easy to much easier to practice vipassana. Also, somebody who has practiced meditation in samsara.
Well, anyway, I think calming your mind also mm-hmm. very important.
Mm-hmm.
Then only your previous practices.
Calming your mind is important for anything, no?
That's
for
right.
Eating, cooking, and for doing house chores, and for driving, and for everything, yeah?
Yes.
It's like a practical skill, basically.
That's right.
For today's world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? So, in my case, I think the samadhi is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Even now, I'm not practicing it always,
mm-hmm.
so there are number of years I used to practice very deep samadhi, dhyanas and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes these days, especially when I come back to Sri Lanka, it's very difficult to practice samatha. That is another thing I notice. Maybe a lot of disturbances depending on our culture, as we mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
There are unnecessary talks and different engagements.
Get carried away.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But abroad you have your freedom.
So you practiced, I think, abroad, while you were abroad.
Yes.
It's more conducive.
Mm-hmm. Yes. My samatha, I practice it up to very high levels when I'm abroad.
Mm-hmm.
In Sri Lanka, so I use more time into vipassana side, or getting more Dhamma knowledge and so on. I'm not telling it is impossible, but my own experience in Sri Lanka, it's really difficult.
So in meditation is not just merely for attaining enlightenment, so that means there are benefits for us. Yeah. That's kind of day-to-day benefits. That may be the why we should do it.
Yes.
Even if you're not achieving for nirvana, but at least you can have a healthy...
Yeah, like even your studies, for example, if you practice samatha,
mm-hmm.
it's very useful.
Mm-hmm.
It is mentioned in one of the Vitakka Santana Sutta, or
mm-hmm.
another sutta, that whenever these nivaranas are there, it's very difficult to keep something, difficult to memorize something.
Mm-hmm.
But... if your panchanivaranas are low, that is in samadhi,
mm-hmm.
then it's easy to, study or memorize.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it is one of the suttas.
Do you relate this notion of memory? Like, for example, meditation enhances one's memory. Meditation enhances that they can retain memory for longer. Like, you know, we hear the stories that, like, for example, Arahant Ananda. I mean, from today's terms, it's impossible to think about it.
No? Yes.
Somebody had that much capacity.
Mm.
So do you think there's a link between meditation and memory, strength of memory?
Well, Venerable Ananda's maybe due to his sansaric habits and so on, but if you practice meditation and dhyanas, this is samadhi part. It is mentioned in one of the suttas, I can't remember, I think Panchanivarana Sutta or something. There was one Brahmin who came to Buddha and asked, we are studying this Veda Granthas, but it's sometimes it's easy to go through, read this very fast, but sometimes it's very hard. Why is that? Why it is difficult? They used to memorize those things. Why it is difficult to memorize certain times, certain occasions?
Initial exposure.
Yes, that's right. Then Buddha's answer was, it's due to these nivaranas, pancha nivaranas.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
When they are strong, it's difficult for you to retain. If your mind calm in the sense these pancha nivaranas
down.
Then that time you can memorize very well. So I relate it to samadhi. When you are in samadhi, nivaranas, you suppress them. Very low level.
Where I think the new research on meditation is going on in the West. Mm-hmm. You know, the meditation enhances ability to retain memory, and also with the meditation enhances the creativity. So they are even like Boeing, for example. They provide meditation sessions for the engineers. They hire professional meditators throughout the years.
Many companies they hire.
Do it. Yes. And thinking that the meditation and the creative, there is a link. They're exploring it. The very fact that you mentioned about this concentrated ability to concentrate, enables someone to think about new ways of designing something, organizing something.
Yeah. Even sports, they use meditation. It's a very this popular thing. This Chicago Bulls basketball team, they meditated. You know, every day they used to meditate. And that's why they...
It looks like Pentagon misuse meditation too.
I see.
The recent history is that the snipers who goes to Iraq and so on, they are given mindfulness meditation sessions by the professionals. This is what I heard. Quite astonishing. Because the idea that it's a misuse of meditation, but they seem to use it for strategic reasons and kind of enable. It has a long tradition on this, even during the World War II.
That's right. This Hitler's time. I also heard that.
The Japanese generals, they were serious meditation practitioners. And you see the Japanese films like Last Samurai and so on. You can see that. The ability to concentrate is that you can be a better soldier.
I think in martial arts also it is practiced,
but it's a misuse or abuse of the
abuse
ancient the technique.
Yes.
But it proves the point that concentration helps.
Yes. Even these jhanas, you can use both ways.
Yes.
That's the problem with that. When you get psychic powers, you can use it positive way and also negative way. So that's why this samatha, jhanas are from samatha, that is not the path itself. That is the kind of foundation you gain. Yeah. Then you have to listen to Dhamma and, you know, get your samadhi.
As you said, that a question arises in my mind. Now, if you use it the negative way, do you lose it? Because I've heard of a story that Brahmin was flying after meditation, and he saw some women having a bath, and he developed some lust towards those women, and he fell down.
Yes.
So I'm just trying to ask you whether there are stories like that. So,
but not in the canon, no.
Maybe commentaries, somewhere.
I don't know.
It
whether
was Sri
Lanka.
It happened in Sri Lanka, no. The
I'm not sure, but maybe in literature, I have just heard of this
but
story.
It's
Buddhist literature.
Probably. Yeah, okay, anyway.
So I'm just wondering whether that disturbing thought for that concentration or whatever bliss that person was experiencing, won't that disturbing thought sort of have a negative impact?
Well, through my practical experience, I can say when you practice your jhanas, when you master them, even you do not practice them for a while, it will last for some time.
Yeah, that's okay, I want to say too.
Yes.
Because achievements, but once you...
That's right. Mm-hmm. But if it is in a, you know, not very strong level, then even simple defilements can break that. Yeah. But when you master it, you know, even you do not practice for 2-3 weeks, still it won't go off. It depends on, you know.
I think that story has two readings. One, it suggests that the females are so attractive and they can kind of deceive or distract the saint. That's one reading. The other one is that saying that these achievements are temporal. You know, this day. So I think
probably yes.
And both readings seems to be problematic.
Yeah.
You know, kind of more.
And I have just it reminded me, I have read another book. And I think the incident was true, something that happened in Sri Lanka. It's written by a foreigner. I think somebody, maybe a forester who was here during the British rule. I can't remember his name. The book's name was, according to my memory, 20 Years in the Jungle or something. He talks of a monk, of a forest monastery, a young monk, who actually elevated from the ground level whilst meditating. And when he saw that he was not on the ground, he got excited and he fell and he got wounded. And the author, as well as those days President Premadasa, he was not a president, he was a young official, they took fruits and went to visit him. So that probably is it's not fiction. It's
a
true story.
It's
a non-fiction I have read.
That's a distraction.
He got excited because it's something totally new to him, something surprising, and he just couldn't...
Anyway, those psychic powers and so on, Buddha has not rejected in many suttas. He has described those. When you develop your samadhi, you can achieve these kind of things and so on. Clearly described. But we have to make sure that this noble path, eight noble we are talking about, and those samatha, dhyanas and psychic powers are two different things. Yes. But my point is, you can make use of samatha to develop your wisdom. Because when your mind is very calm, it's easy to understand deep Dhamma. Buddha has mentioned the samadhim bhikkhave bhaveta samahito bhikkhu yathabhutam pajanati. The yathabhuta jnana you get when you are in samadhi.
When you are concentrated.
That's right. So my point is, don't get scared of samatha, but try it, because then you use it to develop your wisdom. So that is according to Buddha's teachings, I guess. But should not forget all those four categories, different paths are there. samatha vipassana, vipassana mata, samatha vipassana yugananda, and also the fourth category. The even discussing Dhamma also very important.
Yeah. So we have around 4 minutes more. Bhante, would you like to add something or just to conclude our session?
I think
today?
It was a very interesting question, your question about whether meditation.
We need to meditate to it.
Yeah, with the, I think it kind of opened up new grounds for us to think about it, you know, how the samatha relate to vipassana and also the perks that you have when you practice meditation. We learn from this discussion, which is quite useful.
Professor?
Yes, again, the same question. The meditation can be interpreted in different ways. So when you ask whether meditation is required for this thing, you have to ask back, in a question back, what do you mean by meditation? So anyway, the vipassana meditation is compulsory, the developing your wisdom to achieve any magapala.
That's what leads to Nibbana,
yes. Especially this bodhyanga, sapta bodhyanga, and it's clearly mentioned in the sutta, sabbaso sutta, the sixth or seventh step is the meditation. But it is referring to sapta bodhyanga, the bodhyanga, this.
Factors of enlightenment.
Yeah. Yes, seven factors of enlightenment.
Of course. So, thank you very much, Bhante, the most venerable Digale Mahendra Thero, as well as Professor Ravi Koggalage, for sharing their knowledge, especially sometimes sharing their practical experiences as well with our viewers. And I'm sure, folks, that you have been motivated right away to start meditating. And with that, I would like to put a comma to our program. And of course, you know our address, you can write to us, and so that we can, you know, like in this program, just bring up the questions that you raise out of the Dhamma discussions, which will be very beneficial to the other viewers as well. So, you know our address, it's the producer, Dhammahadaya, the Buddhist TV, Sri Sambodhi Vihara, RG Sena Nayaka Mavata, Colombo 7. And Professor, you can also tell them your email quickly.
Yes, my email address koggalage@yahoo.com, koggalage@yahoo.com.
Okay, so thank you very much, Bhante, as well as Professor, and just make sure you practice meditation, because it is, as we discussed throughout our discussion, maybe by now you are quite sure that it is a necessary component for you to attain